Hallelujah. You are welcome to this morning's daily devotional. By the grace of God, we will actually continue with what we started. And for today, we actually want to go to the book of Revelation. Let's kindly go to the book of Revelation. And I'll read from chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. And I read, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask that, Lord, you bless the reading of thy word. We ask that, Lord, you also grant us all trances according to your will and power. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you also grant us understanding as we deal on this topic. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, brethren, we want to actually continue on our sharing, but with this one is on "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying," as we are talking on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at what we just read, there is something that we have to actually understand about this verse. If you take the third verse, the Bible says that blessed is he that readeth. Hallelujah. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Hallelujah. So, one thing that we have to actually understand is that you are already blessed even as you read the words of this prophecy. And the scripture has also made us to understand that they that hear the words of this prophecy. So, as we laid on our foundation, since we are laying emphasis on the revelation of the Spirit and the truth, or the word of God. So what we want to bring in mind is that, yes, truth is a standpoint, but the scripture brings actually something to view. When you went on with that verse, it said, "And they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein." And keep. So truth is not only just about we hearing it or we actually having a canonization of our truth in knowledge, but also abiding in the truth. Hallelujah. Abiding in that truth. So the Bible went on to say that, "And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Hallelujah. For the time is at hand. Now, we understood that John was actually taken to Patmos. If you read the same verse, the Bible made us understand that John, who was one of the apostles that followed Jesus Christ, in fact, They went through a lot of things when the Holy Ghost actually was poured upon the church. And now we all read and saw how the apostles died when they took the gospel onto the people. Now, John actually happened to be one of these apostles, and we understood how he was taken to a Patmos whereby the persecutors think that by sending him there, they have caused much harm to him. But we also understood that it was at Patmos that God now actually used that opportunity to now bring the book of Revelation, whereby John will have to see a lot of sins, visions, and things which should actually come hereafter. So Patmos actually give us some other understanding, because as I speak, we have believers who are going through a lot of tribulations. Some are going through a lot of persecutions. But I use this opportunity to tell you that what you have been through, you will not be the last, and you will also not be the first. John has also gone through a lot of these things, but God used that circumstance as an opportunity now to actually give him a divine revelation. So we have seen that in every believer's life, if we look at Abraham, if we look at even the apostles, if we look at each one who really followed the Lord, they all went through a time of trial. They all went through a time of testing, whereby their faith was actually tried. And when it was tried, at the end, they saw a glorious life. They saw something glorious, which actually gave them hope that what they are going into, it is much of much importance to what their journey, and that also led them to a higher place in the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We understood that Abraham went through tests, a lot of tests. So likewise, the bride, the elect of God, is also going through a lot of tests. We may go through a lot of persecutions, we may go through a lot of things, but we should know that all these things, the Bible says that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So John also experienced the same thing, whereby he had a Patmos experience. Hallelujah. There, the book of Revelation was now given unto him, where John saw a lot of what figures, symbols, visions, actually concerning the kingdom and things that will actually come upon the church hereafter. Now, there is something that I want us to understand about this revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at every message that has been given to the church ages, there is one thing that we can actually bear witness about. After every writing of the church messages, you will see that there is one word that ran through it. And the Bible says that for he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He that has an ear, this word has run throughout all the messages. So it brings to view about something. The Bible says that he that has an ear, not they, but he said he. If you read Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, the same thing is there. He said, "He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." There is something to bring about this. This word didn't rhyme only to the message that was sent to Ephesus. It ran through all the messages. So since we are talking about the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is something that we really have to take notice about this statement. He said, he, so that, not they. God is dealing with the individual. When we look at the leadership of God, there were times passed in the Old Testament where he dealt with a nation. But when it comes to the New Testament, the New Covenant, he said, he that cometh unto him, he, not they. So God is not dealing with some group, but God is dealing with the individual. It is these individuals that come together to form the bride, to form what we call the bride, the elect. So that is what we have to take actually notice of. Those, we have a lot of people today who put their hope in their denominations, and even they are, you know, they got it enough to be proud of even their denominations. But the Bible made us understand that it is he, not they. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, not what a certain archbishop is saying. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Says to the churches. He said, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So we understood that every message that came to each of the church ages, there was a messenger, and that we also understood that each of the messengers were sent unto these actual churches. Now, there is something that we have to also take a notice here. Though the messengers were sent as stars who came with a message to the seven church ages, we have to understand that the messages that were sent, the Bible says that let us hear what the Spirit is saying, not that our heart attend to the words or the utterances of these messengers, but to the word that the Holy Ghost is saying in those words. So he said, for he that has an ear, let him hear, not let them. He said, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is saying. So you see that in our sharing from the day one, there is a real essence of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So truth is not just about the letter, but you hearing what the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says that it is them that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are the sons and daughters of God. Because the Bible made us understand that if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of him. So all the messages, there is something that we have to actually understand about this. Now, he said, let him hear what the Spirit says, not what some Pope is saying, not what some bishop is saying, not what some one man is saying, but what the Holy Ghost is saying. So the church must understand that we are not drawn to the words of men. We are not drawn to, you know, to some kind of creed. We are not drawn to some kind of dogmas, but we are drawn to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. In every message, there is an utterance, which is the rhema. In these utterances, which is the rhema, we have what we call the logos. The logos is the thought actually the thought behind those words. So the thought expressed in those words, which the Holy Spirit is saying unto the churches. Today, what we saw in this end time is that a lot of people are being led into what we call a fashion. They are led into, using words of men above even the Bible. They put the words of men even above the Bible. I believe that William Branham, if he were to be here in this our day, he would have actually condemned a lot of things. Fanatism has become, in fact, the order of the day, whereby, so many, believers today are being drawn to quote even above the Bible. So we have to take this question and understand that we have to tune our ears to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because without you having the spirit of the author, you can't even understand this book. You can't understand even the message. You can't even know all. And that's what the Bible says, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. It is very important what the Spirit is saying. We could have a whole range of quotes. We could have all this code. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit behind it, we can never understand it. So the Bible says that let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Now, we also understand that when the church began, one thing that we take actually notice of is that we had a foundation. And that's why if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 11, it said, there is no other foundation that any man can lay than that which is laid, and that is what? Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that any man can lay. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have Jesus Christ as a foundation. If in the natural, if we look at every building that has actually gone through the official procedures to build that actually building, we have a first foundation, then a second foundation where the pillars are being held onto. Now, when we look at the holy city, because the bride or the elect is that city. Now, the Bible made us understand that Abraham seek for a city whose foundations, not foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, we understand that on this one foundation, we have foundations. So, if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says that for we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. Hallelujah. That is the sure foundation upon which the other 12 foundations are being clinked onto. And that's why when we actually study the scriptures, the Bible made us understand in Revelation chapter 21, verse 14, that the city has 12 foundations. The city has 12 foundations, and these foundations are the 12 apostles. So the church is being laid upon the foundation of the apostles. It's not one foundation. It is 12 foundations upon which the church is being laid. Hallelujah. By which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief cornerstone, and Christ is still the headstone of that a pyramidal city, which is on the mount. Now, we also understand that when this church foundations are being laid, which Paul, as a wise master builder, laid a foundation. Hallelujah. He laid a foundation because he was a replacement of what? Judas Iscariot. We understood that the person that God really used as a replacement through his own choice was Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. So the church was built upon this 12 foundation. When we look at the Old Testament had a Urim and Thummim. This Urim and Thummim was a set of standard which prove what is truth and what is wrong. So if these 12 stones light up, then it shows that what the person is saying is right. Now, when we also look at the church has 12 foundations. So what we have to understand is that when William Branham came, there was one thing that ran to all his actually teaching. He said, back to the Bible, back to the back to Pentecost, back to the faith of the early apostles. We never had a 13th foundation. No. There is no other 13th foundation. So what we have to understand is that there is only 12. And the last church age messenger, who is William Branham, came to point us to that, to that foundation. And that's why the Bible says that when we look at the prophecy of Malachi, and when you read the 6b, it said the heart of the children are turned to the fathers, whose feet are being turned to the feet of the early apostles, and who are our fathers. So we have to take a notice of all this, all because if we actually study the church, the Alpha Church and the Omega Church must look similar. So you will see that whatever the Alpha Church had gone through in this last day, the Omega Church is back to that feet of the early apostles. Hallelujah. So we also understand that how the church will be raptured and everything, they are taking the same stand, and the church must look so similar. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, this day is not about we turning to some quotes or some words, then you will be actually satisfied with. But we mellowing under the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Walking in an invisible union with Him. This is not the time for the bride to actually prepare. The bride, though they are in Laodicea, but they are not in the realm of Laodicea. This is a brighter age. So every work of darkness of Laodicea must not even be seen in the bride. Because we don't walk like other men. We don't walk like mere men who are still in darkness. We are walking in the light that has been shown unto us. So if we know the time that we have found ourselves, this is not the time that we have to lay again on the works of darkness. This is the time for us to have a close intimacy with the Lord. This is the time for us to have a readiness in working with the Lord. Because the bride and the groom are in a marriage. If we actually study the parable of the 10 virgins, where the friend of the bridegroom came, he said, go ye and meet him. And it was only the wise virgins who were able to go in and meet Christ in a marriage. So this is a time that we have to understand that we are in a very close relation with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now, when we look at the bride this day, it takes only the grace. It takes only the grace of God. I want to draw actually something here. If we look at Zechariah chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 7, there is something there. And I read, he said, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you. For who have despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with two seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." Now, there is something here. Zerubbabel actually stands for Christ. When we actually study, the Bible says that the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. We saw that Christ was the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And he is still the headstone. When we look at the church in a pyramidal shape, hallelujah, whereby the capstone, which is the headstone that will keep the church. The Bible says that, and his hands shall also finish it. So he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. "And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts have sent me unto him." Now, the Bible says something. He said, "And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, saying, crying, grace, grace unto it." Remember when the grace, when love is actually projected, God's grace takes over. The divine love, agape love, hallelujah. Now, the Bible made us understand that it takes grace to this church. Grace to the elect, grace to the bride. It is grace. And that's why the Bible says that, "For by grace are we saved. Not by something that we think that we have done, not by some kind of self-righteousness, but by the grace of God." So it is the grace of God bestowed upon the church to be raptured, because Jesus Christ has given the church a great spirit. So, in finishing, as we saw, the Bible says that he heard cries of grace. So, grace was actually bestowed upon the church to be raptured. Grace, it is the grace of God. Hallelujah. When divine love, when an agape love, divine love is actually projected upon this church, the grace of God, God's grace, takes over. And we must also understand that a divine love could proceed out of the divine truth of God. So it is the spirit and the truth. Hallelujah. Now, we identify that the church, though its grace bestowed upon it, a character must come out of that church. I used to say that now even the church is more than a bride, is just more than a bride. Hallelujah. The church is more than a bride. A bride could be or may not, but the church today is a bride wife of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that before they are raptured, it said the marriage of the Lamb is made ready and his bride has made herself ready. So we have to understand that the bride that we are talking about before its rapture will be given a robe of righteousness, hallelujah, to go into the rapture. So we have to know that a desirable character must come out of this bride. When we look at Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, when you look at it, Matthew chapter 17, the Bible made, actually, it said, and after 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. We understood from the character that Peter, James, and John led in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was so dedicated. James was so concerned. And John was the beloved of God. The bride this day must possess these attributes. Hallelujah. 3 is a number of perfection. And we have to know that that bride is perfected, must be perfected. Hallelujah. Through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. To walk in that grace, a desirable attitude of dedication, concern, and loving the Lord. Love, hallelujah, is so important in our walk with the Lord. The Bible says that, and he took them onto a mountain. Don't forget, we just talk about the pyramidal shape mountain, hallelujah, whereby the bride was taken to the top. It's a city on the Mount of, it is a city, hallelujah, and that city is the bride, hallelujah. Now, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. May God actually help us, even as we end it here. May we continue to grow in understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, may God help us all. Amen.